Go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, that's where we're going to be in God's Word today. And we actually come to a very interesting passage of Scripture, especially when you take in the full context of what we've already read. So if we're in Luke chapter 7, that means we've already read six chapters. So when you look at Luke chapter 1 all the way through Luke chapter 7, this passage that we're in today is going to really be very, very interesting. You see, in Luke chapter 1, the birth of John the Baptist was foretold. As a matter of fact, the angel of the Lord says in Luke chapter 1, verses 14 through 17, that John the Baptist would be great in the sight of the Lord. He said that John the Baptist would be filled with the Holy Spirit while he was in his mother's womb. And that John the Baptist would be the one to go before the Lord and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And then in Luke chapter 3, John the Baptist came out preaching a repentance of sin and forgiveness of sin. And he preached boldly the gospel of Jesus Christ who was to come. And John the Baptist, even if you'll remember in John chapter 3, he actually baptized Jesus. So he was there, and he saw the Holy Spirit descend upon Jesus like a dove. John the Baptist was there and actually heard the voice come from heaven when it said this, "You are my son." So it was the voice of God. John the Baptist heard this, right? Speaking to Jesus, "You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." I mean, John the Baptist was in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. And I mean, he was living out the gospel. He was living out the ministry of the kingdom. But we also find out at the tail end of Luke chapter 3 that John the Baptist was locked up in King Herod's prison. Do you remember why he was locked up in King Herod's prison? Because he preached against King Herod, right? King Herod was evil and living in sin. He had married his brother's wife, and John the Baptist came in and said, "You are wrong. What you're doing is wrong. You need to repent of your sin. You need to repent now." And so King Herod had him locked up. And so now here we are in Luke chapter 7, and we get to talk about John the Baptist again. This is a pivotal moment in his life. Now, before I get there, I want to ask you a question, okay? And it's a simple question, and I think I know the answer. Have you ever had questions or doubts in this life? Yes? Some of you said amen, like stamping it down with authority, right? Yeah, some of us, I believe right now, maybe, we've got questions. Maybe even sitting in this church today, you came in here with doubts. I'm glad you did, because you're in the right place. You're in the right presence. I wonder this week, has anybody faced any negativity this week? I mean, I faced it. I faced it as soon as I got back from Boston. A little negativity. Anybody get any discouraging news this week? Did anybody get any news that you didn't really want to get? Maybe it was some news about you or about a friend. Maybe it was about a job. Maybe it was about, I don't know what it was about, but maybe you got some news this week and it just flattened you, right? I mean, it just discouraged you. Listen to me. I hope you understand this, right? But you're going to face that again. You're going to keep, as long as you keep breathing in air and breathing it out, you're going to face negativity. You're going to face discouragement. You're going to face bad news. It's just part of life. Listen to me. Sin broke this world, and it broke us. And we're living in the consequences of sin. We're living in a broken place. And you know what? We're just broken people. But thank God for Jesus, amen? Thank God for Jesus. I think it's safe to say that many of us have had questions. Many of us have had doubts in this life. And I want you to understand, it is okay. It is okay to have questions. It is okay to have doubts. I love what Billy Graham said in one of his sermons. I like to go back and listen to some of his sermons. He's one of the greatest preachers to ever live. And Billy Graham, he said this, "It does not matter where your doubts come from. The important thing is what you do with your doubts." It does not matter where your doubts come from, the important thing is what you do with your doubts. So let's talk about doubt for just a moment, okay? Doubt is a feeling of uncertainty. It is a lack of confidence. That's what doubt is, right? So if you doubt someone or you doubt something, you're a little uncertain about that person, or you're a little uncertain about that thing. This may sound crazy, but I remember one time I went into a restaurant and I sat in a chair, and when I sat in the chair, the leg gave way. Like it basically broke. And so now every time I go to a restaurant, and you may not recognize this, I don't even know my family recognize this, you know one of the first things I do is I take my hand and I push on the bottom before I sit in it. You know why? Because I'm a little uncertain about where I'm fixing to put my tailbone. I don't want people to laugh at me when I fall, and I certainly don't want to hurt myself when I fall. I lack confidence in the things that I sit in. It's crazy because when I get in my truck, I do the same thing. And it's like, where's that seat going to go? Like, it don't even have legs. But I do. I put my hand on it just to be sure that it'll hold me, you know? And so I want you to understand today that we come to a great passage of Scripture. Because I just told you what the first seven chapters tell us about John the Baptist. He was an incredible man. As a matter of fact, we're going to hear it today. Jesus said he's one of the greatest men who has ever lived. And guess what he faced in this life? Questions and doubts. So if John the Baptist ain't exempt, why in the world would I think I'm exempt? So here's what we have to do. We have to handle our questions and doubts, or else they will strangle us. Do you hear me? We have to get a handle on our questions and our doubts, or they will strangle us. Even this week, I found myself getting strangled by some doubt. I mean, this week, like, it's crazy how it lines up and how it happens. Marty tells me all the time, what are you preaching on? You know why? So she can prepare herself for the week. Because she just knows, like, right? Something's going to happen, and it's going to come to fruition. So how do we do that? How do we handle our questions? How do we handle our doubts before they strangle us? See, here's what I found in my own life. And again, I'm not trying to preach at you. I'm just trying to share with you some examples in my own life. Many times in this life, what I do is I allow my doubts to bring into question my faith. That's what happens. I allow my doubts to bring into question my faith when what I should be doing is allowing the faith that God has given me to bring into question my doubts. That's what I should be doing. I should at least have the same courtesy, right? If my doubts are going to question my faith, then I ought to at least let my faith question my doubts. Because my faith will always tell my doubts what's up. I just have to listen. So what we need is we need two very important truths from God's Word to show us how to handle our doubts and questions. And that's what we get in Luke chapter 7. So you ready? Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 18. Now remember where John the Baptist is. He is in King Herod's prison, and he is awaiting death. John's disciples told him about all these things. What John's disciples told him was about all the things Jesus was doing that we just saw already in Luke chapter 7. So John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" So when the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?'" Let me ask you another question real quick before we keep going. Have you ever had expectations only to find that reality didn't meet your expectations? Anybody ever been there? I mean, you had expectations, and man, everything was moving in such a way that you were ready to celebrate your expectations, and then reality hits. And you start going, What about my expectations? What about all the hard work? What about all the effort? What about all the preparation? And it doesn't end up the way you want it to end up. Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect expectations? Someone else. Verse 21, at that very time, I want you to hear that again. At that very time. In other words, John's disciples were there. They've asked him the question, and Jesus doesn't say anything. It says, at that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases. In other words, he just starts curing people right then and right there without saying a word. At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So after he did those things, he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. And then watch this. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is being proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John, the one who sent his messengers with questions. Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written. He's talking about John the Baptist. I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. And then he says this in verse 28. I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Wow. This is a powerful passage of scripture. And I'm going to just tell you something. This is a hopeful passage of scripture for me. And it should be a hopeful passage of scripture for you. Because what we see in this passage of scripture is that when we have questions and when we have doubts, there are two very important things that we can do, and God will move. Number one, we need to commit. We need to commit our questions and our doubts to God. This is the first important way to get a handle of your questions, to get a handle on your doubts. Understand this. John the Baptist is in a difficult place. He is in a hard place. He was in the prison of a king that he called out. And up to this point, if you look at scripture, John the Baptist was actually in prison for doing what was right. Do you understand that? He was not in prison because he broke a law. He was not in prison because he did something wrong. He was in prison for doing what was right. In a hard place, in a difficult place, for doing what was right. So, what happens to us when we're doing the good things? What happens to us when we're doing the right things and our expectations don't line up with reality? I'm asking you, when you've done everything right, when you've done everything the way you were supposed to do it, and then you get to that place and it just doesn't work out. What? Say that. Somebody just said it. Disappointment. Somebody said it over here. Oh, failure. I'm hearing some good words. What else do you think about? Discouragement. Right? Disappointment, failure, discouragement. And let me ask you a question. When you've done all of those things and you get to that place and you don't win and it don't work the way you want to do, what do you do mentally? You begin to question. you begin to doubt. Don't you? I don't know about you, but I do. And I'm not just talking about physically. I'm talking about mentally. I'm talking about spiritually. I'm talking about the whole of me. That's what happens. It can lead to questions. It can lead to doubts. It absolutely can. But here's what we see in the scripture. When we commit our questions and our doubts to God, He will give us grace and He will give us mercy. That's what He will do. I love Pastor Craig Groeschel, the pastor of Life Church. He's got a book, and I highly recommend it. It's a book entitled The Benefit of Doubt. And that's a weird title of a book, isn't it? The Benefit of Doubt. You're going, now, wait a minute. You're telling me I'm supposed to get a handle of my doubt, but you want me to read a book called The Benefit of Doubt? I absolutely do. Because when we commit our questions and our doubts to God, He will hear us. And He will meet us where we are with grace and mercy. Listen to what Pastor Craig Groeschel says. He says, doubt does not have to be the enemy of our faith. It can be a pathway to a deeper and more meaningful faith. Did you hear that? It doesn't have to be the enemy of our faith. It can be a pathway to a deeper and more meaningful faith. In other words, God can take your questions and God can take your doubt and He can strengthen you with it. He can build you up with it. But you got to commit them to God. You got to commit them to God. He goes on to say this in his book, Jesus strengthens the faith of those who bring Him their doubts. We see it in the Bible. And so in his book, and I'm not going to read you his book this morning, but I'll tell you, in his book, he says Peter doubted, Thomas doubted, and Martha doubted. And what did Jesus do? Did He deny them? Did He turn them away? Did He say, shame on you? No, you know what He did? He brought them in close, and He spoke truth into them. It kind of reminds me of another man in Mark chapter 9. There was a father who brought his son to Jesus, and his son was possessed by an evil spirit. And his son was seizing and foaming at the mouth. But here's the thing, that father knew where to take his son, didn't he? He took his son to Jesus. And here's what that father said. That father believed in Jesus. He believed that Jesus could speak, that Jesus could touch, and his son would be healed. But I want you to hear what the father said. I think you know it. The father said, Jesus, I do believe, but help my unbelief. In other words, Jesus, I believe as much as I can, but I don't think it's enough. So will you help my unbelief? And what did Jesus do? Sorry, bud, that's not enough. Bye. Is that what he did? No. Jesus healed his son. He met that man where he was with grace and with mercy. There's a little bitty book in the Bible. Matter of fact, it don't even have a chapter. It's just Jude and then verses. And it's right there before Revelation. And I think it's probably one of the most overlooked books in the Bible, right? Because you got 1st and 2nd and 3rd John that I absolutely love. And then you got Revelation. And some people, they flip and they don't even know that Jude's there. It's like one page, front and back. But I want to read one verse that I think we need to hear. And I think we need to remember when somebody comes to us with questions and doubts about God, about church and about faith, because we're so quick to tell them, hey, get a handle on yourself. Why would you question God? Why would you doubt God? Look at what God has done. We got to be careful the way we talk to people, because here's what Jude chapter 20, verse 22 says. Be merciful to those who doubt. Okay, that's not Jeff's word. That's God's word. The Bible says, be merciful to those who doubt. So here's the number one truth when it comes to our questions and our doubts in this life. We must commit them to God, Why? Because he will accept us. He will hear us, and he will give us grace, and he will give us mercy so that we will grow in our faith, so that our relationship with him will deepen. And if we'll commit our doubts and our questions to him, right, that means that we can do something else. It leads us to the second way to get a handle on our questions and our doubts. Because here's the thing. What happens if you don't get a handle of your questions and your doubts? They will do what? They'll strangle you. Right? They'll strangle you. Anybody here have asthma? Anybody here, right? You use an inhaler? How do you feel when you can't get to that inhaler in time? I've heard it before and I've seen it before. I had basketball players that thought they were going to die because they couldn't breathe. I mean, they had to get to their inhaler because they could not breathe. And that's what our doubts and our questions will do. They'll strangle us to where we can't live this life the way God created us to live. So we've got to commit them to God. We've got to trust that God will meet us where we are and that God will embrace us and that God will give us grace and mercy. And then secondly, here it is, and this is so important. We need to saturate our minds and our hearts with the Word of God. Saturate our minds and our hearts with the Word of God. When Jesus demonstrated the Scripture, because remember, the two disciples of John the Baptist said, hey, John the Baptist sent us with a message, right? Are you the one? Are you the one? Or should we expect someone else? Jesus demonstrated the Word of God first, because what did he do? It said he just started curing people, left and right, just curing them. And then he spoke, right? So he demonstrated the Scriptures, and then he spoke the Scriptures to John's disciples. This is what Jesus said. He said, the sick are being cured. The lame are walking. The blind are receiving sight. The dead are being raised. Do you know what he was doing? He was actually quoting the prophet Isaiah. That's what he was doing. There are so many versions of the Bible, and I looked at this, right? And you know how sometimes there's versions of the Bible, and they'll give you these little bullet points, and they'll say, look at this, look at that. Most versions of the Bible won't tell you in this passage to go look. But I encourage you to go look. Isaiah chapter 29, Isaiah chapter 35, Isaiah chapter 42, Isaiah chapter 61. He didn't just quote one scripture, like he quoted several scriptures. So how did Jesus help John's disciples and John the Baptist get a handle on his questions and his doubt? He saturated their minds with the Word of truth, with the Word of God. That is so good. So here's my question, right? If Jesus did this to and did this for John the Baptist to remind him of what God's Word says, don't you think he can and don't you think he will and don't you think he does do the same thing today? I hope he does in your life. That's why I tell people, you better have Christ followers around you. You better have Christ followers around you. Because I'm going to just tell you, Christ followers, ones who are in the Word and the Word is in them, they're going to tell you the truth. And I'm going to tell you, there ain't but one thing that's going to set you free from questions and doubt. It's truth. It's Jesus. The people you surround yourself with, oh, they're going to talk to you. But are they going to tell you the truth? Are they going to saturate your mind and your heart with the Word of God, which is what you need to get a handle on it? Or are they going to give you something else that you go to bed at night and maybe go to sleep or may not go to sleep because you're still worried and you're still anxious and you're still doubting? I thank God for Marty because, you know, she sees me when y'all don't see me. So y'all pray for her. You know, she sees the man that don't just have a coat on Sunday morning up in the pulpit. She sees the man that don't have the coat on during the week, that don't have 300 sets of eyes on him. She sees the man that struggles with doubt. She sees the man that struggles and has questions. But I'm so thankful that she is in the Word and that the Word is in her, because even this week, she bombarded me with Scripture. I mean, it did feel like an attack. I'm serious. Like, I wanted to say, be quiet. I tried to walk out of the room, and then she started texting me, so I put my phone down. Listen to this. Again, Billy Graham. The seed of faith always grows best in the soil of God's Word. The seed of faith always grows best in the soil of God's Word. If you want to grow in your faith, if you want to get a handle on the questions and doubts in this life, now understand, I did not say get rid of the questions and the doubts in this life, because you ain't going to get rid of the questions and doubts in this life. They're going to always be around, and they're always going to hit you. I don't care what high you're on, what low you're on, or what in between, there are plenty of questions and doubts for you. You're not going to get rid of them, but you can sure handle them. You handle them with the Word of God. You handle them by committing them to God. How dare we think that God doesn't want us to ask questions? Like I tell my kids all the time, I would rather you come to me and ask me than to go to TikTok and try to find out the answer to your question. Because they don't love you like your daddy loves you. They don't care about you like your daddy cares about you. So if I want my kids to come to me with any question they have, why would I think God would be any different? Because God's a greater daddy than I am, I'm going to tell you that. He ain't never blown it. I have. I've been faithless, but my God is always faithful. Jesus reminds everyone. I love this. Right? He takes time. After John's disciples come, because it was open and public, and Jesus did some healing, he did some miracles, and then he spoke openly to them and said, you go back and you tell John this. Quoted scripture. So everybody there was watching, and don't you know, they're probably going, ooh, man, he's giving it to John the Baptist. Right? And Jesus very clearly said, hang on one second. Let me tell you about John the Baptist. Who'd you go out in the wilderness to see? You went to see some little weed in the wind getting blown around? No, that's not what you went to see. You went to see some prophet? No, you didn't get to go see some prophet. You went and saw the prophet, the greatest prophet Israel has ever seen, one of the greatest men that's ever been born in this world. Jesus said, don't ridicule him. Don't think that I'm attacking him. I'm not. I'm feeding him. See, that's what Jesus was doing. He was feeding John the Baptist, feeding him the truth of God's word. Dr. David Jeremiah, he takes us a step further, because what did Jesus say? Jesus said, hey, and all of you listen to this, even the least in the kingdom of God will be greater. What did he mean by that? I love the way Dr. David Jeremiah says it. Dr. David Jeremiah says, those who enter God's kingdom will be even greater than John the Baptist because they will experience what John proclaimed. You see that? See, Jesus had not yet fulfilled. He had not fulfilled it yet. He was still in ministry. He was still living and breathing. And so Jesus had not yet died, and Jesus had not yet raised again. And John the Baptist was going to lose his life before that happened. And Jesus said, even the least in the kingdom of God will be greater than that. Why? Because we will experience the fullness of Jesus Christ, his perfect life, his sacrificial death, and his victorious resurrection. And so that's what he meant by that. Another writer that I love, and I know I'm quoting a lot, but I've been reading a lot and studying a lot. There's another great book, okay? I told you about Pastor Craig Groeschel's book, The Benefit of Doubt. There's another great book by Paul David Tripp, and it's called Suffering. Suffering. And I love this, because in his book, Paul David Tripp says this, John's doubt was one of wonderment, not judgment. Wonderment leads to a growing and vibrant faith. Judgment leads to actually believing that God is not good and does not care. So think about that. He says there's two kinds of doubt. There's the doubt of wonderment and the doubt of judgment. In other words, the doubt of wonderment is, I know you're God, but I just don't understand. And I just, it's kind of like that man in Mark chapter 9, right? I believe, but you got to help my unbelief. The doubt of wonderment will cause you to go to God and commit your questions and commit your doubts to God. The doubt of judgment is, well, God must not care. He must not care about me because he's not answering my prayers. God must not care about me because look at all these things that are happening to me. You see the difference? The doubt of wonderment and the doubt of judgment. And I love that because in his book, he says John the Baptist clearly was in the doubt of wonderment. Okay? So there's another writer, and I love this. Her name is Susie Kasem, and I put this on the screen for you. Her name is Susie Kasem, and she once said this, doubt kills more dreams than failure ever will. Just a few moments ago, I asked you, when you're in those moments of question, when you're in those moments of doubt, throw some words at me, and you threw the words disappointment and discouragement, and you threw the word failure to me. And those are absolutely true words, but I love this, right? Doubt is what kills more dreams than failure ever will. You want to know why? Because doubt is what keeps you from getting on the starting line. Doubt is what keeps you from getting on the starting line. Doubt is what keeps you from joining a Sunday school class. Doubt is what keeps you from saying yes to being on a ministry team. Doubt is what keeps you from going out and sharing the gospel with someone else because you don't think you're good enough or you don't think you can say it right. So you don't even try. So before you can even say failure, your doubt killed your dream. Doubt is what kills more dreams than failure ever will. I'm so thankful that we see in Scripture there's a way. There's a way to handle our questions and to handle our doubts, no matter what area of life it may be, spiritually, physically, financially, relationally, whatever it may be, you can handle it the same way. You can go to God with it. You can tell you why you can go to God? How about some scripture? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all of your cares, worries, anxieties. I don't care what word you use. They all mean the same. Cast all of your cares, cast all of your anxieties, cast all of your worries, cast all of your doubts on him. Why? Because he cares for you. So when you think God doesn't care about me, that is a lie from the enemy, the devil. And if you believe that, you're believing the devil who wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. Think about that for just a second. We are more prone in this life to listen and believe what our enemy, the devil, says to us than what God says to us. You want to know why? Because we have not saturated our mind and our hearts with the Word of God. When you're full of the Word of God, you ain't got no room for the lies of Satan. Think about that for a second. When you're full of the Word of God, you ain't got no room for the lies of Satan. The Word itself will cast out the lie. But when you're not in the Word and the Word is not in you, oh, you got plenty of room. Plenty of room for the lies of the enemy. Plenty of room. So I want to ask you two questions. Number one, are you handling your questions and your doubts by committing them to God? Is that what you're doing? Are you saturating them with the Word of God? Because right now, if you're struggling with doubt, if you're struggling with question, I want to say two things. Number one, it's okay. But number two, you must go to God with them. Because that's the only way to get a handle. You must go to God with them or you're just going to keep being strangled by them. So are you committing your doubts and your questions to God and are you saturating them with the Word of God? Or are your questions and your doubts strangling you, causing you to miss the fullness of God? Causing you to miss the love, the peace, and the joy of God and everything else that he has for you. God's got strength for you. God's got victory for you. But are you missing it because you're allowing the questions and the doubts to strangle you? That's no way to live. That's no way to live. That's not the way God created you to live. And here's the truth, right? If you're a Christ follower today, here's what that means. If you are a Christ follower, that means that you have repented of your sin and you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save you for eternity. Like, you've committed your eternity to Him, right? That's what that means. So you believe in the eternal salvation that He has secured for you by His life, His death, and His resurrection. So why would you not trust Him with your questions and doubts? That wasn't even in my notes until this morning. Like, Jeff, I mean, are you kidding me? You believe that He can save you from your sins and bathe you in the righteousness of Jesus, and that you will live in His presence forever in heaven, but you don't think He can handle your doubts and your questions in this life. How much sense does that make? I hope I'm not making you feel like a fool, but I sure felt like a fool this morning, praying, sitting at my desk, getting ready for this. Felt like a fool. God, some things ain't gone my way. Poor, pitiful me. God, I might lose this, or I might lose that, or God, I might not get this, or might not get that. Poor, pitiful me. God, You must not love me. God, I must not be doing it right. God, I must not be good enough. Does that sound familiar? But thank You for saving my soul and allowing me to live forever with You in heaven. We some messed up people, ain't we? I'm a messed up dude. I am a messed up dude. And I need God to remind me every day of who He is and who I am as His child. And I need people around me like my wife and you around me to help me, to saturate my mind and my heart with the truth of God's word. And I hope that that's what I can be for you. I hope that's what I can be to you. So if you're in this place today and you got doubts and questions, it's okay. My prayer is that you don't walk out of here with them, that you commit them to God, that you believe in God's grace and God's mercy to you and for you, and that you walk out of here this morning with the Word of God that tells you who you are, whose you are, and why you are. You are God's special possession. That's who you are. 1 Peter 2:9, you are God's special possession. You are His holy nation. You are His royal children. So that you may walk out of this place and declare the praises of He who has called you out of darkness and into His wonderful, marvelous light. That's who you are. But your doubts and your questions may have a strangle on you right now, and you can't breathe, and you say, you don't know. Oh, I know who you are. If you're a Christ follower, that's who you are. And your doubts and your questions can't change that. It may feel like it, but they can't change that. Because the Bible says that when you are in Christ, that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Not even your doubt. Not even your question. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a good truth? Amen. Believe that truth this morning. Walk out of here with that truth this morning. And you tell your doubts and your questions what's up.